Welcome back to Footwork, a podcast for those who dream big, never settle, and make their own path. I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan. Together with guests, we share stories and tips every Monday to educate, inspire, and create a community built of soccer players and dream chasers.
Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way.
Ivan Klasnich, welcome to Footwork. Thanks for coming on.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
So we always start the same way. That's make your own path. That's our motto here. And for someone who's played at some of the highest levels and the best tournaments ever, what does make your own path mean to you?
Say it again.
Make your own path. So it's our, this is like our slogan here. It's essentially just goes to mean going outside of your comfort zone to, I guess, make your own route and how you want to do things, follow your dreams. So I guess just in terms of your career, how have you done that? How have you made your own path?
I always say, or I said before, if you're healthy, you can do your best football, or you can do everything what you want. But you know, the thing is, if you pass what I passed before, you know, like with my injury, with my illness, with everything, you know, it's you think about your life different. Mm. When I was 18 and when I was 30, you know, so this part was like a really strange part in one point, but it was it's helped me to think about a life,
right?
Because at the end, if you ask 100 people what you think about life, everybody would say, yeah, enjoy my life, fun, here, there. It's not about all of this, but the first thing is, if you stay healthy, you can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. If you don't stay healthy, I would say F word. Yeah. It's really hard,
yeah,
to get this what you want, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and In my WhatsApp, it says on creation, one ill person has one problem. One normal person has a lot of problems.
Right. Mm.
So this is, I think, for every person, what you need to think in your head. First thing, what is a life? What you want from a life and what you get from your life. And this is, I think, how I pass all the things about my, what happened. And this is the main thing.
I love that. We'll dive into the details, but to give us a brief summary, who are you, where were you, and where are you going?
Well, I am Ivan Klasnich. I'm 43 years old now. I am a sports agent, a football agent now. I was born in Hamburg. I live in Hamburg now, still. And but my parents are Croatian, so I'm Croatian. Have a Croatian passport, and I'm happy to be alive first, and I'm happy to be here to do this podcast and to make maybe some people, to give some advice for some people and to give them maybe the positive things what I did or what I have in my life.
Yeah.
Speaking on the answer before, talking about, you know, how you value life maybe a little differently now over these last years, do you feel like that answer would have changed when you were 18, 19, 20, coming into your first professional contracts?
Yeah, if I had this head before with 18, sure. Mm. Because I was thinking differently later. And because, you know, when you have if you know, or you have coughing or something like that, you know, small things, you know, like you say, I'm going to training and go for a run and this. I would not do this now. Because your body say to you something and give you advice, have a rest and do it tomorrow maybe, or the next days.
Right.
Because if you don't have a rest, you will keep this and go on and have it inside, and you cannot give you 100%.
Yeah.
And this is the main thing.
Yeah.
Every training you have to give 100%, or every match. And also in the in your life, you have to give 100% for your friends, for your family and everything, and for your work.
When giving advice to a younger player, though, is at what point do you say, oh, you should push through whatever small cold you have, or you should still go to training, or do you just always rest when you're not feeling well? Because at some point in a professional career, you're always getting run down, right? But you keep pushing on. Where is the line where you would say, you need to take a break and give your body a chance to recover?
No, everybody has to have his own line. So if you feel ill, stay at home. Your coach will say, yeah, come on, try and everything. But no, your body is saying, give a rest. And I give this also to, if I speak with my players and everything. So don't go to the training. Have a rest, drink a lot. Do some different things, not always take tablets or everything. You know, like you have, if you're, you know, like there is so much, so many old fashioned things to do to keep, you know, like if you have fever, you can have, you know, you cut potatoes in small pieces, put it on your feet.
Wrap I haven't heard of this one. Yeah,
yeah, no, yeah, wrap okay. it with a. With a
plastic wrap,
and it takes your fever away.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
But you know, these are old things.
Does it work though?
Yeah, 100%. No, 100%.
Noted. Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, like these things I got from my mother, you know, like also if you have a, you know, like a bad stomach and you have like bad, you go a lot of to the toilet, my mother said to me always, take a spoon with half coffee and half sugar and take it, you know, like, and, you know, don't drink water, but...
like your saliva.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and it helps me always, you know. I don't know if it's from there,
yeah,
but, you know, like, it was always fun. And it's always when I speak with my mother then and I say, oh, I have stomach, do this and...
Right.
But that's, you know, right. There's a lot of other things what we can say now, but you can Google it, you know, like there's really in every country, I promise you, if you Google it, there is really a lot of things what you will never expect.
Right.
Yeah.
Coming into the now, you mentioned being a player agent, player consultant. I'm just wondering how it feels to kind of be on a different side of the game. So helping players and seeing it from this side. What's one of the biggest takeaways, biggest things you've learned in this new role?
The biggest things what I learned is when I played football, everybody wanted something of me. When I'm now agent, I want something from them, you know?
Right.
So they... Sometimes they don't care who calls and sometimes they don't care if they respond or not, but it's sometimes different, really. This agent thing is, it's hard.
Mm.
But, you know, like, my personal thing is, you know, I want to help the players. It's not about, sure, at the end, it's money always, but first thing is to find the right person for the right club.
Right.
And this is, I think, very important. It's not about to make a quick deal or to make a dodgy deal, you know. It's about, you know, to do the right things.
Yeah.
Do you feel that there was a time in your career or at some point in your career where maybe an agent got the wrong deal or brought you to the wrong team or maybe was doing something behind your back where you wish or you're trying to help players now and do the right thing versus something that in your past maybe was not the right thing?
Well, you know, like with me, I cannot say nothing wrong because at the end I worked with my lawyer. Mm-hmm. He's a friend of mine also. And I really never had an agent. He was working like my agent. And well, at the end, you know, I always decided where I would go, you know. I will not say I did something wrong. Sure, if you see the stats where I played, where I not played, so was Mainz maybe the
best move at the time?
Not the best move, but it was the yeah. It was, you know, I decided to be not so far from my daughter, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this was my main thing, not to be, because she was in Hamburg, I was separated, and I decided to be like to live in Wiesbaden, near Mainz, and so I can bring my daughter always to Frankfurt or to fly to Frankfurt or anything. So yeah, I decided to go then there. So I didn't play a lot. I played 3 games, 70 minutes. So this was not the best thing. Mm-hmm. But at the end, you know, you learned a lot of things. You learned new players. You learned to work with new coach. You learned some different things, you know. And every club I was, I never said I did a mistake. You know, I went to Bolton. I went to Nantes. I was first day was my first football professional football was St. Pauli. Then to Werder Bremen. Sure, there was a lot of other clubs who wanted me with more money, more bigger clubs. But there was always some issues, you know, like not issues, but there was always some problems because I was Croatian. I had a Croatian passport. I was not European Union, so I couldn't go. So, you know, like there was different things. Like I could go to Bayern Munich, but I didn't want it because I didn't want it to work with Felix Magath because he was really hard and worker and, you know, and I know I had this problem with my kidney, so I didn't want it to, yeah, that my kidney will be
right
done, you know. So, you know, these things always was something, yeah, where I said I couldn't go because of that, and yeah.
The layover hoodie is out now. Select size is still available on our website, footwork.club/shop, or follow any link in our bios. It will be the best hoodie you own. We personally guarantee it.
What are some of the other things that kind of, those boxes you needed to have checked to say yes to a team? Because you said you had different offers and things like that. So what did you need to...
Look,
feel like
I had an offer from Juventus Turin, 2005, but I couldn't go there because I was not European Union. So I had to decide maybe I go to take the German passport or to keep the Croatian passport.
Because you would have had to give it up national at the time, team. Yeah.
So for me, it was important to play national team. So I didn't go to Juventus.
That wasn't an option.
Was it always that? Was there any? Because I know Germany had knocked on the door a few times to ask.
This was before,
it always,
you know,
Croatia. It was always going to be Croatia that you would represent.
This was before, you know. Klaus Allofs was the main guy who wanted me to play for Germany when I came to Bremen, 2001.
But for you, it was always going to be Croatia.
Well, you know, it's for me. It's I was born here. But I don't feel I'm German. Sure, I learned everything, like the character, the things, how you act, how you be to be to person, you know, like. But for me, it was always to play for Croatia.
Yeah, and speaking of your time with Croatia, you played in the 2006 World Cup, 2 Euros. You had a pair of goals. Do you have a favorable moment with the national team?
Well, 2006 was very the first game against Brazil, first game of the tournament in Berlin. It was a fantastic atmosphere from the Croatian crowd. I never saw a crowd like cheering and you know, fighting for us, and yeah, it was so powerful. How many Croatians was there? And yeah, we lost. We did a good game, but we lost against Brazil. So it was not the best World Cup for us. Then we played, I think, in Nuremberg against Japan, 2-2. No, 1-1. And we played against Australia in Stuttgart, 2-2. Where Joe Šimunić get three yellow cards. Wow. In the game.
They changed the rules.
Yeah.
So for you, I mean, because you've played in the Champions League as well, but kind of when we talk to athletes, putting on the national team jersey, representing the country, is it just a different level in terms of pride and what it means to you?
Well, for me, it's, you know, like, I can say also for everybody, but for us is to be proud to play for Croatia. Mm. So I don't know how it is for other countries, but if you hear the national song, it's like, you know, it's in your heart, you know, like, and you want to give everything for this country, because we are a small country. If you see, we have 4.5 million in Croatia and 4.5 outside Croatia. So maybe it's less now, but you know, at the end, we are 9 million people of Croatian crowd in the whole world. So, and we are doing really well for
the still
stars.
Able to. Yeah, I mean, you look at the players that Croatia has produced. Yeah, you're talking about Modric, Rakitic. I know you have some relationships with them. I mean, what does that come down to? Do you think that's, is there great setups in Croatia for football in terms of the schooling and education?
I don't think there is a good setups. If they have, if there would be more setups, maybe there would be more like Modric, Rakitic, or Boban, or Šuka, or something like that. But I think the most important thing for them is what to do.
Yeah.
They say, we want to do sports. Somebody wants to do basketball. Somebody wants to do football. At the end, you know, the most of the guys wants to play football. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then trying, and, you know, every day. And in Croatia is better, the weather better than here. So they're going out and play, you know. Like,
And how is that going from club to national team in terms of his identity or playing to what the coach or how the coach wants to set you up? Is there a difficulty adjusting from team to team when you go from club to the national team?
Well, if you compare 2004, I was going to Portugal, and I won the champion and I won the cup with Werder Bremen. I didn't play 1 minute.
Yeah,
this was strange.
I heard there was a lot of surprise. A lot of people did not know why.
Like Otto Baric, he's now not here anymore. But I was surprised, you know, like I would not say I had to play, you know, but at the end, he could give me a chance, you know, like, because I was a champion in Germany. Not other guys were champions.
The double too.
Yeah.
In the Pokal, so.
Yeah. But I didn't get any minute. I was like a supporter there.
And how was that? Was that one of the first times in your career where you were just a supporter on the bench, just watching the team?
Yeah, it was strange, really strange, because I was thinking, you know, like in the last game we played against England, and he was like doing every striker, you know, pushing, you know, you have to go and you get a chance and everything. So we were five strikers, and he told the same everybody. At the end, we lost 4-2 against England. But yeah, I don't know.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah. At the end, I don't know if it's true or not, but at the end, I heard, you know, if I would give 50,000, I would play every game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Was it, so in the 2006 World Cup, you did play sometimes off the bench, sometimes, but you scored that goal to tie it up, which was, I mean, kind of amazing scenes. Obviously, it didn't end how you wanted it to end. I believe it was against Turkey.
No, 2008 was it.
2008 was it?
Yeah.
Okay, so during that World Cup, was it a kind of like a, I belong here moment, like scoring that goal, even though it didn't end maybe how you wanted to?
This was 2008. We had this quarterfinal game against Turkey. This was the Euros. But the thing was, I scored in the 119th minute the goal. Mm. I came on in the 96th minute.
Yeah.
And I got it not really with my head. I got it with my shoulder, but it was inside, you know. And we was like very happy, going to each other and celebrating. But I don't think it was a good celebrating, because at the end we should throw the shirts off and run to the supporters. Yeah. And
that was Modric with the assist as well, I think. Yeah. If I remember seeing the video correctly. Yeah.
And I don't think the referee would keep on playing the game, you know?
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Because in 190 minutes, who expected that the game will be still three, four minutes, you know?
Mm. Right. I think then we take it back in terms of breaking into the professional football. What made your decision to go to St. Pauli?
Well, my parents live not far from the stadium. And there was the trainings. We didn't have a trainings camp. It was like we trained on how you say this in English.
Is it the sand, the clay?
Yeah,
the clay. Clay.
Yeah. So we learned football on the clay. So it was not far from my parents. So my parents said to me, "If you want to play, you can go to São Paulo." Oh, São Paulo wanted me, and Hamburg wanted me too. Mm-hmm. But Hamburg wanted me to bring me home, but my parents said, no, it's too far. He can go with a bicycle or with a bus. It's only two bus stations.
Right, and,
So,
how was that, because you got promoted with St. Pauli? How was that? Where does that rank in terms of kind of moments in your career? Because I'm sure it was a great time
in the Rabobank. It's just... I would say, you know, you learned, because I came 97 there, and I signed in first contract, my first professional contract. It was not a professional, it was an amateur professional. So, for me, 2001, when we went up, you know, like, it was fantastic. You know, the whole Rabobank was full. We were celebrating, I think we were celebrating 3-4 days, you know, like
I can imagine.
Crazy, you know, but you know, I was young still, you know, and this was my last days with São Paulo. So I went to Werder Bremen, you know, like for the next season. And, you know, it's a new part of my career, you know, like, and Werder Bremen wanted me like since 3 years.
Yeah.
And never got me. And afterwards, you know, I decided in winter
that I would go already.
That I would go to Werder Bremen. And
How would you describe St. Pauli, the culture, the atmosphere, the fans, for those who maybe aren't so knowledgeable about German football?
St. Pauli is very different, you know, like, because, you know, like, the supporters, you know, like, if you fight, if you do your best, you know, they celebrate you. You see, you know, they have a new stadium, all different things, you know, like, it's new, customized, you know, like, every team, I would say it's 2024, you know, and every team needs to be like on this level, you know, like on, because São Paulo was like, when I played, we had wood chairs, you know, like the stadium was, there was not stadium, you know, like it was like, I don't know, it's a field, like you have standing up things, but you know, the how you say, Haupttribüne,
the main section
where you sit, you know, like, was all wood, you know, like, and
like benches,
and at the end, you know, like, if you go toilet, you know, it's not like a where you pee, you know, it's like a whole session, you know, everybody staying there's no sections, you know, like, right. And yeah.
And they still have
it's
that.
It's all on container, you know, like when I was there.
Yeah.
But now it's all stadium, it's all
furnished. I guess they have to do it a little bit to keep up with everyone. You know?
Sure.
Like you can't stay there forever.
That's why I said, you know, the São Paulo brand,
it's
now, you know, they have to push it up, you know, like.
A little bit, exactly. Yeah. But they're trying to keep it as what it was.
Yeah.
And what about when you made it pro? So when you made the jump into the professional football, was it always the idea like, okay, I'm just going to use this club to get me to the next level? And you always had higher heights to get to the Bundesliga, to get to the national team, to play in a World Cup. Did you make those goals, or was it just, let me just play as best as I can right now and see where it takes me?
Well, you know, I got the chance to play for São Paulo, and I got the good things was I got a chance, you know, like to play for the first team.
Yeah.
And the in this part, you know, 97, 98, 99, São Paulo had problems with the strikers, you know. So this was my, you know, like...
Your calling.
Yeah, my calling, like, to play there, you know.
Right.
So, but still I played also, 97, still I played the A-Jugend, the
U19.
Under 19.
Yeah.
And under 23, you know, like... sometimes, you know, I went on Sunday when we didn't have a game for the under 23. I was sitting on the bench and they were saying, oh, come on, 20 minutes you play. And I was like, okay, I come in, scored 3 goals and went to the players and did I good, you know?
Yeah.
So they was laughing about this, you know? Yeah. And, but you know, it these days was like, maybe, If you write a book like these days was for me to start my career and to do it well, you know.
The layover hoodie is out now. Select size is still available on our website, footwork.club/shop, or follow any link in our bios. It will be the best hoodie you own. We personally guarantee it.
And I think once you become pro, I mean, you see a lot of players have talent, but maybe can't get to the levels that they should because maybe off the field or their habits. So for you, what did you do to strive to become a better footballer?
It's hard to say because it's long term, you know. But I think if you want to do it as a striker, you have to keep going every day. Mm-hmm. Because you have to train to shoot. Train to play one against one, train to get some balls in the box. You know, if you don't do it every day, you will have like maybe some games, like a small down, you know, like, and you will not score any goals. So, and then, you know, sure, you have, like, I had this, like, 5-6 games not to score, you know, like, and then you think, what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
You're staying in front of the goal, it's 7.5 meters, and you miss it. So it happened.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you score, then it comes all back.
Yeah.
Right.
We say when it rains, it pours, because I'm sure when you score, then you have the confidence to score again, but... Mentally, I think that's so interesting as a striker because we've talked about it a few times before. Those periods without goals can be very tough mentally.
Yeah.
So how did you, if you can remember, how did you kind of combat those periods to make sure that you came out?
No, like I said, you know, to keep working, to keep doing your training sessions, after training sessions, to go with your friends or like to take a goalkeeper, to shoot on a goal 20 times or... More times, as long as you think it's good for you, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Making it simple, kind of coming back.
Yeah,
to the
simple
basics,
things, you know, simple things for striker, you know.
Yeah.
Because at the end, you have to score a goal.
Yeah, that's your job. Yeah,
right.
That's your job.
Yeah,
right.
That's nothing else.
No. Nope.
You don't need sure, because every coach told always to me, I'm lazy. I was lazy.
But it was
because
game.
I didn't run, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But I always said to the coaches, Laktat don't score goals. So
what a quote.
Sometimes I was right.
That's right. Yeah. And is that something that you kind of learn from experience older forwards on the team or strikers, or is it something you realize early in your career, okay, if you just keep working, keep practicing, keep doing extra training, that even through the times where it's going not going so well, you just keep training and it will come back?
Yeah, it is. They said to me this, you know, you have to work for yourself to be mental ready. If the ball comes, you have to score.
Right.
And this is what I say also to young kids, young players. If you are young, you have to play.
Right.
It's not about to get this money or this. It's about to play and to keep on. And if you play, you will get better.
Right.
In one day, if God wants, you will be a professional. If God don't want, you will be different. Not everybody can be professional.
Right. And there's various levels, of course. You don't always have to play Bundesliga to play professional.
No, but if you see under 19, if you the Youth Champions League, mm-hmm. there's so many, a lot of good footballers.
Yep.
If you see Benfica, if you see Paris Saint-Germain, if you see Dortmund, if you see, I don't know, Red Star, you know, there is a lot of players. But not everybody will be professional.
Right.
Sure, maybe one will be in Dortmund professional, but from the under 19, I tell you now, I don't know, I think there are in the next round, but maybe three players will be get a professional contract.
Yeah. Right.
The other ones will go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is what I maybe moan in Germany, that they always look for good strikers and good, I don't know, it doesn't matter which position, but there's a lot of good players in the own squad.
Yeah.
Right.
Under 19, but giving them chance.
They don't look at them as much though.
But if you see who was in the last 5 years, who came up from the younger ones in the first team, there's not a lot.
No.
If you see Musiala, I don't know, in Dortmund,
the young winger, Mukoku. I forget his name, Mukoku, yeah, maybe.
Mukoku,
yeah.
One. Yeah.
It's one.
Yeah, but Mukoku, you hear something from him now?
No, it's kind of quiet. Now, yeah.
But this is, you know, small things, you know, like what I, that's why they moan in Germany, why it's not going well. You know, under 17 was World Cup champion
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Give them a chance.
We will see how many players will be from them professionals.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I guess at some point they have to be given a chance with men's first team.
It doesn't matter which, where.
In order for them to continue to develop.
Sure. Well. If they would not get a chance to be in Dortmund,
yeah,
maybe somewhere else.
Yeah.
But here, football is also a lot of here, mm-hmm. and you have to be lucky.
Yeah,
sure.
A lot of things have to fall into place at the right time.
It's not about, sure, talent and everything, but you have to be lucky.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To get the chance, I don't know, to play in Champions League and to score and to be then the first player then.
Right.
A lot of things need to happen, yeah. I mean, you've played with some very big name players. I mean, the list really goes on and on. We talked a little bit about them off camera too. So, I mean, Luka Modric, Marcus Alonso, Jack Wilshere, Gary Cahill, Mertesacker, Ozil. I say these because they were kind of maybe towards the beginning of their careers when you played with them. And I'm wondering what kind of things you saw from these players. Like, did you expect them to reach the heights that they reached?
No, I saw that they cleaned my shoes every time.
Did they do a good job?
No, it was funny. You know, I like you said, you know, I played with these guys and when I see how much they worth it, you know, if you say Mesut Özil was paid 50 million, you know, like long time ago, 50 million, you know, like this was now would be, I don't know, 150 or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, like when he came to Werder Bremen, he was like, oh, funny guy, you know, like he had his hair was like a papagai.
Yeah.
Papagai.
And, you know.
Yeah.
we know his eyes are a little bit different, you know, like, and he was coming and, you know, he was like very thin, playing a little bit. And, you know, like, he was thinking, okay, yeah, he's a talent, you know, like, you see, technical, very good and everything. But who knows, will be he the new Diego or the new Miku or something like
will
that.
Will he go to Real Madrid? Yeah. Yeah.
But you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end, every year better and better.
Comes back to what we talked about earlier, a lot of like players have the talent. Yeah.
When I play with Luka Modric, they put him in the wrong position.
Where did he play when you were?
Number 10.
Yeah.
Mm. He was never number 10. They expecting from him. Sure, he has a genius, passes with outside, inside, you know, like, but...
And he can score too, but I think that's not his biggest...
Sure, but Luka Modric is not a number 10.
Yeah.
Right.
And since he plays for Real Madrid, he's like, for the Croatian football, you will never get a player like this more.
Mm. Ballon d'Or winner, I mean.
Very high standard, exactly.
Yeah.
Ballon d'Or.
You know, and I think in Croatian you say kapu do poda. It's just like a head to the ground, or like, you know, the head to the ground. Mm-hmm. And this, what he did and what he will do still this year for the Euros and for the Croatian people, it is, you cannot describe.
Yeah. You'll be an ambassador too, right?
I got this ambassador for this year, for the Euros, for the Croatian national team. So yeah, I'm lucky to be a part of the Croatian national team, and I'm happy to be it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are there any players, maybe, because we've named some big names, are there any players that you feel like that you've played with that maybe don't get the recognition that they deserve, like real true players that maybe could have bigger names or?
Yeah, sure. I think, what's his name? Nico Kranjčar. He was in Tottenham. I think he has a possibility. He was the number 10.
Yeah.
He has a possibility also to be like a Luka Modric. But you know, if you see, like, you know, we had a really good squad, you know, like I think Ivan Rakitic did a lot for the Croatian national team, did for his career, what he played in Barcelona, he won, I think, two Champions League titles. And he is now in Sevilla. I don't think he will go somewhere else. But, you know, like, to be a person like him, you know, like, and because, you know, our relationship is very good, and I think it's I would say he's also a part where I would say he's one of the best players what Croatian had.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. And then let's go to your time at Werder Bremen, club legend there, 7 years spent there, 5 Champions League goals. You won the double with them 2003, 2004, and filled with a lot of ups and downs. How do you reflect on your time there?
Well, if you see what we did with Werder Bremen the last 20, 30 years, this was the best part of Werder Bremen.
Without a doubt, yeah.
For sure.
So they never did, from 7 years, okay, no, the first year we didn't play Champions League, but 6 years afterwards, we played every year Champions League. We was playing every year for the, not for the title, but, you know, for the first 4
competing
places. Right. And
And in that time, I mean, in general in your life, you've had 3 kidney transplants now. 2 during your time, I think it was a span of 2 months, January and March, maybe it was.
January and March, yeah.
Can you walk us through maybe a little bit during this time period, maybe about the difficulties and how you kind of overcame it and came through?
Yeah. 2007, or better to say 2006, I couldn't I couldn't wait more with my tablets because the doctor said we have to do it transplant 2007. So the first thing was we did it with my mother, and it didn't work. It was the 25th of January, and 8 weeks later we did it with my father, and it worked. So it was, I think, the 15th, I think, of March. Yeah, 15th of March, I think, 8 weeks later. Yeah, in this part, you know, like if you do a transplant and then you hear from the doctor, it didn't work, you know, like it's in one part. I would say, why me? Yeah. First thing, I do it, transplant, and it didn't work. But for me was, you know, I couldn't give up. Mm-hmm. And from the cross matches, my mother was the first one, my father was the second one, my brother was the third one, you know, like everybody could give me a transplant. And that's why my mother gave me the first one. So, like I said, why me? Why my mother lost a kidney for this?
Right.
You know, yeah. Like it's different. You know, if your mother, you know, realize she wanted to give, but it didn't work. You know.
Yeah.
She was a little bit, you know, upset also for herself. And saying, I couldn't help you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's very hard for her.
Yeah. Right.
It was very hard for her.
Mm-hmm.
But my, you know, like, for me was like, sure, I was also upset because of it didn't work. But for me was important, you know, like, not to give up and, you know, to think about the next one, you know?
Right.
So, and the second one, you know, was with my father. I did everything different. I choose another day, choose another hospital, I choose another part of it, and yeah, so it helped.
How long did it take after the second one for you to kind of, I guess, get back on the field, or at least know that you would be getting back on the field for sure?
My first game was 2007 in November, but with the under 23.
Mm-hmm. So still a long time from that March.
At the end, it's 1 year, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But did you think at any point, like, okay, football's done? You have one transplant, then you have a second one a month and a half later.
Yeah, was there fear that it would never happen again?
Well, sure, in this time you had up and downs.
Right, totally.
And but I had a good coach. He kicked my ass. Really good coach. I was thinking, oh, I couldn't run more.
Right.
I did, I think, 3 tests for this to get the commission to play in the Bundesliga.
Mm-hmm. That was like to be allowed to play again, yeah. To deem you were fit. Okay.
Didn't get it.
Wow.
And if you go there and, you know, like do the test and run, and, you know, first thing, okay. Second thing, third thing.
Yeah, adds up.
You think. It's, you know, it's in one part is it's also a part of learning, you know, like, because my body is saying I'm not ready.
Yeah.
Like I said before.
Right.
If your body is not ready, you cannot give 100%.
Right.
So on the fourth time, you know, like in this year, I wanted to come back.
Right.
Because the doctors always don't give me the permission. The Werder Bremen doctor didn't want it that I play football. He gave me a paper that I sign it, that he's not more for me, how you say?
He wasn't responsible.
Responsible, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want it for me to come back and also to show, you know, this person that he's wrong.
Mm. Right.
Because the other doctors gave me permission.
Right.
And you do in the end.
Yeah.
Show that
and
he was wrong.
And they said, you can try it. And if you try it, you know, we will be behind you, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's almost a combination of proving him wrong, but also proving yourself right, that you knew that.
This is what I said, you know, like it's for me, it's like a part that I never did this before, you know, like 1 year, like training, because when I start first training, I was running like a old guy. Mm. I was not running. I was like walking. I was sweating. And from this part to here, I would not give anybody say do the same thing.
Right, because it was so difficult.
It was very hard. Mm.
But I believe you are the only ever player to play in a major tournament after a kidney transplant.
At the moment, yes.
At the moment, yeah. So I guess we talked about, you know, persevering and to keep going. But what kind of advice would you give to players or to people maybe going through something similar or different, but just has the same, I guess, weight or same strength to persevere through the doubt? And
the main failure? Thing is not to give up.
Yeah.
And if you give your body up, you will not live. And this is what people need to fight for.
The layover hoodie is out now. Select sizes still available on our website, footwork.club/shop, or follow any link in our bios. It will be the best hoodie you own. We personally guarantee it.
That's good advice. And then, I mean, we can jump to Bolton quick, where you played with a few Americans, Tim Ream, Stuart Holden, former teammates of yours. How was that to go from, you had a stop in France before you went to the Premier League, but how was it jumping into the Premier League? The biggest, the most amount of money, fast-paced, most amount of views. How was it jumping into that league?
Yeah, I was lucky, you know, like, because I was in Nantes and I was, they was not happy with me more. We dropped to the second league. I played 4 games in the second league.
That was in your first season? They were relegated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at the end, the president thought, he brings Ivan Klasnic and he will score goals.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you need 11 or 16 players that...
A lot of things need to fit the puzzle, yeah.
So, and at the last days of the summer transfer, I got a call and Bolton wanted me on loan with a buy-in for 2 million.
To make it permanent.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So for me it was like a jackpot, you know, to go to the Premier League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went there and I feel very good. At the start, you know, I didn't play so much. But I put my stamp on it and you know, like they know The thing was, they had a striker, Kevin Davis, you know, he was playing always.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my problem, not problem, but you know, I...
It's your competition.
Yeah, so, but he was the hero of the club. So he must play. Doesn't matter who came. And this is the reality of the club. And then I played half a year, and they was very happy with me. No, 1 year. 1 year I went there. Yeah. And then afterwards, after the year, Bolton was happy. But Bolton didn't want it, or didn't have the 2 million to buy me.
Sign, yeah.
So.
What happened then?
I had to go back to France.
Yeah. And so you're playing in the second tier
and
there?
Train with them again.
Okay.
So you went back to France to train with them?
Yeah. So I had to speak with the president. And he was keep pushing, you know, like, because he paid a lot of for me,
mm-hmm,
for the first year. And he wanted this 2 million, eh? But at the end he didn't get anything.
And you still went?
Well, we decided, because I had 3 years still contract,
mm-hmm,
in France,
yeah, and had a good contract,
yeah,
and he wanted me to
right
to go,
yeah,
because he didn't want me to pay me,
mm-hmm,
anything. So we, at the end, you know, we had a negotiation something, and yeah.
And you were doing all the negotiation yourself?
Yeah, you know, we did with the president. I think he came good out of this situation.
Mm-hmm. Everybody won.
It doesn't matter if he didn't get the 2 million.
Right, right. Like, he would have paid you a lot more.
Yeah. Speaking of what Sean said, how do you compare, when you play there, how do you compare the Bundesliga and the Premier League? Style of play, fans, things like that.
I think the hardest league for me, where I played, is France.
Yeah.
What about it?
It's very difficult, because, you know, there's a lot of African players, and very strong, very fast, very... You know, the mentality is different. If you don't have a team, what is comparing with them? You know, like because they came up the year before, and then, you know, like you have to buy some good players, you know, so to stay in the league. But to compare Bundesliga with the Premier League, sure, Premier League is the best league of the world. But, you know, Bundesliga is like, you have good supporters, you have a good, I can say, you know, we in Bremen, we always did really well in the 7 years, you know, like, it doesn't matter which year, and mm-hmm,
Many English players, when they go over to Germany, they say they're quite surprised by how loud the stadiums are.
Yeah.
How the ultras are singing throughout the game.
Yeah, because in England, you know, like, it's not the really fan zone, you know, like, you know, they sing some songs, you know, mm-hmm, and that's it.
Right.
They also don't have the standing sections, I believe, right? So it's all seats.
Yeah, but they brings stand a different a lot, atmosphere. You know?
They stand a lot too, yeah, but they don't have those crowds of ultras like you would have at a Werder Bremen game, for example, yeah.
Good, then I guess we go, I mean, reflecting on the journey now, what would you say helped you get to this moment? So in other words, why did you make it as a pro? Why did you keep going? And why have you gotten to this point?
Well, if you get a chance to be a pro, take it. Oh. At the end, you know, I got a chance from St. Pauli, and for me it was always, you know, play for the first team, you know. It was very important. First time to go inside in the stadium, be a part of this, and yeah.
You feel like that attitude that we've talked about a few times, that never give up, is the reason why you were able to make it such a long career and reach the heights that you reached?
Yeah, if you see, I didn't have a so long career, you know, like, okay, I had 16, 17 years. But, you know, like, if you compare it, you know, like, I always say, what would be happen if this not would be happen, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where I would be.
Yeah, where would I be if maybe you took the Juventus, if you were able to take the Juventus contract?
Yeah, sure. Things but like that. It's not about this, but still, if I would not be ill with the kidney,
yeah,
mm-hmm. what happened then?
Yeah.
Right. Right, because I was relatively but, early.
You know, you have to take what the real life, you know, like
right. What life throws at you.
It's how it is, and you cannot change it now.
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna head into some quicker questions to end up our fast feet round, as we call it. Who was your favorite player growing up?
I really don't have some favorite players. Sure,
there was no one you tried to like. No, you know, emulate your game on or anything like that.
No. Sure, you see some videos and everything. So, but you know, to say, oh, I would like to be like him, and I always say, I would like to be a little bit faster.
Mm. Us too.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
a little bit faster. You know,
that's the one trait you feel like if you were a little bit faster.
Yeah,
then it would have been too easy.
I was fast with the ball, but you know, like, but to be, you know, like this small things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Favorite moment in football?
Favorite moment, this was the goal against Bayern Munich in Munich. Mm. The 1-0 when Oliver Kahn dropped the ball. I went to the right side, he went to the left side, and I scored.
Yeah. How about most difficult moment in football?
Against Turkey.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The highs of scoring and then coming
to
the lows of not advancing.
I saw my statue in Croatia. I swear. I swear.
There's no statue?
There's no statue.
Somewhere there's got to be a statue.
Little one. Best advice you've ever received?
The best advice I ever received. Wow. It's not advice, but you know, like it's a funny thing, you know, like because we spoke about Turkey, we spoke about the goal. One day I was in Croatia and I spoke with somebody, an old guy, and I asked him, what was the problem we didn't go through this moment? And he said to me, cold, it was your goal. That's why we didn't go through. I was thinking, so I shouldn't score the goal?
To tie the game?
To win the game, but he was honest, you know, like, because he was thinking this positive, or better to say this negative thing, when they scored, the Turkish players was like on the top of the game, you know, we was down, we was 1-0 up, but with the goal, we was down like, if somebody, I don't know, put a hole there and we went there.
Yeah.
And that's why we didn't could the win this penalty. Mm-hmm. Because I think, personal, if we win this penalty, we will win Germany and we will play against Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not say we will win against Spain, but we was really small to be European champion.
Right.
But we lost the game against Turkey.
That's football. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. It's a cold statement from that old man.
And this is what I always was like sure laughing about, but who knows, maybe the statement was like, yeah.
How about favorite place you've lived?
Yeah, it's hard to say, you know, because at the end, I lived the whole childhood, or to the, I think 30 years in Hamburg, you know. Yeah. So my friends are here, my family is here. So, you know, like.
Kind of has to be, huh?
Right.
Yeah, it's very.
Simple choice.
Yeah.
Best player you've played with and against?
This is what people ask me a lot. I could say in my best part of football is Johan Miku was the best player I played with. This guy was crazy. I don't know how was Zidane, but they always said if Zidane was not there, Miku would be
yeah. Uh-huh.
The number 10 mm-hmm. of France. Mm. And I could say yes.
And what about against?
Against. I think Cannavaro was a really tough guy.
Tough opponent, yeah.
Yeah, he was not big, strong, but mm-hmm. he is strong.
Was he clever in his movements? Yeah.
Yeah.
He kind of knew maybe where to go at certain times.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about if you weren't a footballer, what do you think you would have been?
You know, I don't know when was it, but I think some years ago, I was looking in my old things. And you know the books when you give people for the school and to write friends.
Sorry, yearbooks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I found my book where I write all the things. What was my favorite song? And I always said I wanted to be a Feinmechaniker. It's like I did a.
You know what that is?
Feinmechaniker is like, you know, like.
Mechanic?
Yeah. But small things, but you know, like details. You make details like for TVs or.
Oh, okay.
Like really small things, you know,
small
like.
Small parts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Small.
Something like that.
Yeah. So. Because my mother was working by Philips, and I did a practicum. How you say practicum?
Yeah, like an apprenticeship with them. Yeah, like an internship.
And this was for me like I wanted to be like.
Yeah.
Because you know, like when you was young, and you know, sure you played football, but you never think that you will be a professional. Mm-hmm. And when it started, then you know, like you get a invite for the national team, you get a, you know, like all these things started, and then you get invited to training with the first team, and you know, then was thinking, oh, look, I could be maybe a professional. Mm-hmm.
So it was really only then where you realized, okay, maybe this can actually work out.
Well, I realize with 17, I would not be a Feinmechaniker.
Save that for the future.
Maybe in another life.
Yeah.
Any quote or mantra that you live by?
Say it again.
Any quote or mantra that you live by?
What's that?
It's similar to best advice, but it's something that you kind of live day by day.
And maybe there's a saying that you...
An expression of saying.
Expression. Like never give up could be one, you know, for instance.
Sure. But like I said, on my WhatsApp this is
comes back to this, yeah.
Yeah, this is the main thing. What I can say is to people: ill person has one problem; the normal person has so many problems.
Right.
Yeah.
So take things into
comes
perspective.
Comes back to it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. We want to thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure to talk about the journey and.
Hope
sure.
I can give some advice.
You definitely did. Yeah,
absolutely.
So to people maybe to have the same problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or to people to be a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And work.
More.
And work.
Don't be lazy like me.
Yeah. And yes, maybe if you have questions about being a fine mechanic, I can
tell you. Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Footwork is sponsored by ourselves and great companies such as Kong Fitness. But we love to partner with new brands to make their own path, so get in touch if you must.
Footwork.club, the official footwork website, is now live, so make sure you go join the club and check out all the new content and all the new features. Find us on YouTube at Footwork Podcast. You better like and subscribe while you're there. If not,
I don't know what to tell you.
Find us on Instagram at Footwork_podcast. Great time there. Twitter at Footwork Podcast. TikTok at Footwork Podcast, where we like to post dance videos. Those are great, but more importantly, amazing content for any dream chasers out there. Plug pass. Tell your friends, your enemies, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor. It doesn't matter who. Tell the mailman, your dog, anybody that can listen.
Like, subscribe, review, because all of that helps while you're there. We'll take whatever we can get to join the club.
Join the club. He messed me up. I mean, he can just mash it together, so it's fine.